Christian greetings to my dearly beloved brothers and sisters and children. I thank God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. We're here this morning in the presence of our holy God, seeking peace and pursuing it, trusting God in the midst of a world that seems to be deteriorating. We see God showing himself strong on our behalf. We still have confidence. God is our confidence. And Psalmist in 94:19 says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." So it's God is with his spirit is still directing and comforting us in the midst of our society, the world society. The Christian society still has hope. The Christian society has peace and joy in the midst of problems and struggles. And so I just pray that God would give peace to every heart here and confidence in him. The other, I guess it was on Christmas evening, last Tuesday evening, we went to bed and the forecast was for snow, but there wasn't any snow yet. When we woke up in the morning, we had approximately 12 inches of snow on the ground, up to 24-inch drifts. Sadly, one of the brethren in Ferrier Mills community, his one chicken barn went down because of the snow, the weight of the snow. And we have heard already about the new year coming in, the old year passing, the new year. We heard about we heard about a number of things this morning already through our brethren, and it just points to the message that I long to share for my benefit. I need it, and those that have ears to hear. And when I looked out across that vast whiteness the other morning, the trees were laden with snow and so forth. The new year is before us like that. There were no steps in it. It was just a beautiful scenery that God had brought to us. So we want to be careful. As the songwriter says, be careful. I think the children, I don't know whether they sang that song this morning, be careful, little eye is what you see and ears what you hear, and be careful. Christian, walk carefully, another hymn. Walk carefully. Christian, walk prayerfully. And so the title I've chosen for the message this morning is Christ in You. We don't want to step out into a new day even without asking God to guide us, to guide our steps, and to tread carefully and prayerfully. Christ in you. Turn with me to John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. Chapter 15, the first 17 verses. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Man gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. John wrote in another, and I think in in chapter 13, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And when Jesus explained this to his disciples, he was trying to let them know what it means to have a relationship with him. And he used a simple illustration like the grapevine. Most of us have seen grapevines. We've picked grapes. And, of course, to the disciples here, grapes were a very integral part of their diet at that time. I think they ate a lot more grapes, and they probably drank more wine than we do. I mean, we don't even drink wine necessarily. But anyhow, that was very simple. For a branch to stay alive, it must remain a part of the vine or the stem or the trunk of the tree. We've all seen branches that were blown off or taken, cut down. Whatever leaves or fruit or whatever that was on there just simply dried up. And Jesus is trying to explain to us here that, this is the way it is. If we don't abide in the vine, and so it's so necessary that we understand what God is trying to tell us. He was explaining it to the disciples that when a branch falls off. Now I realize that some people feel that there is an unconditional eternal security. I find no confirmation in the Bible. Here he says, if a branch falls off, well, you need to be attached to the vine before you can fall off. So anyhow, be that as it may, I didn't preach, you didn't come to preach on eternal, unconditional security, but we have that security in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus provides us with a clear picture of this great mystery. He alone sustains us. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. Outside of that we're not a part of him. There is no life apart from him. And this is the heart of the gospel. Jesus wants to be in us. And that's not just because he saved us from death, but he empowers us to live for him, and he lives in and through us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, I believe it is, He says, "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." And as we approach the new year, yes, we have regrets of the past year, but we dare not dwell on those. But we need to just make things right with our Lord if we didn't walk as he wants us to walk. To confess and to repent and to do better, like our brother mentioned this morning, have a plan. Well, sometimes I have a plan, but things don't work out to that plan. So why doesn't it? I don't know. God's teaching, still teaching me things as I travel the highway of life. Excuse me. So here he says, "Abide in me and I in you." It is spiritual fruit that he's wanting us to bear. We had the article this morning on the calling of ministers, bishops, and deacons, and so forth. That order can be kept in the church. And if we abide in him, and as our memory verse said, brethren, that every man should abide in the calling wherein he is, and there abide with God. Always abide in him. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let us remember that. Without me ye can do nothing. It is in him alone that we are sustained. It is in him alone that we are empowered to make full proof of our ministry as servants of God. And as everyone in here, as a child of God, it is in him that we accomplish what he has called us to do. Even in our everyday work, it is him that gives us the energy and the stability and whatever, you know. And we're in different seasons of life. Just like we are in the winter season now, but in the springtime, we think of youth in their young age, springtime, where they are learning, where they are realizing what's important in life, and we just want everyone to realize that without Jesus, we can do nothing in our youth. We need that. We need to find that out too, and accept and respect and honor our parents as they teach us from the Word of God, and then it's the summertime, the middle age, maybe if I can say it that way. In that season, we have different responsibilities, more responsibilities, and marriage and children, like our chapter we had today in our Bible study, in our Sunday school. Things change, the seasons change, and as we go on in the fall of the year, I am told several times already, and they correct me, and they say I'm starting to walk with a bent back. Well, you know, summertime is warm, and then as we go on into the fall and winter, you know, we're towards the sunset. We're traveling towards the sunset. Told someone the other day that they said, "Well, straighten your back." Well, okay, I can, but I said I'm getting older and my bones are having pain and so forth, and it kind of bends me down toward the earth. As I get older, I'm getting closer to the ground, and someday they'll take me out and bury me out here. But if we abide in Christ, we are saved. We are in him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, the Apostle Paul said. So we need not worry. Just in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort, the Lord comforts us. And my soul delights in that. I appreciated the devotional this morning and that Psalms 1. It is just such a good picture at the beginning of it, that of one that is following, that is abiding in Christ, Christ in you. And so what do you find hardest in your life? The hardest part of living for Jesus Christ. What is the hardest part, the thing in your life? You don't have to answer that. But I'll just share that for me, it seems like it is to die to self. Get self out of the way and keep it out of the way. Unfortunately, this flesh and blood does not become converted. We need to mortify our members. And to really humble myself. You know, Proverbs, I believe there's a verse in Proverbs says something, I can't get the start of it, but I think I'm allowed to say that pride dies hard. And to humble ourselves before Almighty God and let Him exalt you is more important. And humility comes before honor, the proverb writer says. So we must take up our cross, deny self, and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And I'm very much aware that that's not something that goes down very good to our nation today, and even the churches, individuals. They feel like denying self is something that keeps something good away from me. But actually, I believe it just opens your heart to receive God's best when we deny ourselves. And anyhow, in verses 9 through 17 here, the Lord Jesus explains His will for our lives. And He says, these are My commandments. Love each other as I have loved the Father and kept His commandments. And He says, ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you. He wants you. He wants our hearts to be opened, to be filled with Him, with His Spirit. And so, what is that difficulty? Whatever the difficulty is, your thoughts, I know you had thoughts, but whatever your difficulty is, in the light of the truth, let's remember we can do nothing without Him. And we need to ask Him, and He's there willing to help us to live His life through us in this area, whatever seems to be hardest to live for Christ. Abiding in Him. That's what He wants us to do. Abide in Him, remain in Him, and live and stay in Him. And how would this, whatever your thoughts were of the things that are hardest for you to live the life of Jesus Christ and for His sake, to abide in Him, how would doing so impact the way you respond to His commandments? He says, keep My commandments. And these things that are hard to do, if we can turn that completely over, how would that affect you in responding to the commandments of the Lord? Turn with me I think it's John chapter 6. I wanted to read a few verses there. John chapter 6, verses 53 through verse 58. And the apostle thought this was a hard saying. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Very clear language, isn't it? And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What a special promise. And how do we measure up to this in eating and drinking his blood? And I know that's, like I said, it's a little hard to understand maybe how we can do that. But actually, we receive this eternal life, this position in Christ, by virtue of our union with him. As we continue on, and he is speaking of the true believers here that really and truly can say with David, "Oh, how I love thy word. It is my meditation all the day long." And our brother read this morning that someone that walks with him will be like a tree planted by the living waters. It is so wonderful. And so we have a few other, let me just, it's another thought there. Jesus is our source. Without continually seeking nourishment from him, we die and we have no life. And the wonderful mystery of Christ living in you, in us now, right now, It behooves us to know that there is something in the future. There is a reality. It's not just we don't live here like animals, and when we die, we're gone. No, we have something coming beyond. As Christians living and abiding in Christ. So this wonderful mystery of Christ living in us now is evidence of a future reality that we will be completely restored, our unity with our Creator, no longer hindered by sin. There was a verse that I wanted to bring out in Colossians 27, the mystery. Mystery. I'm going to turn to that. Colossians 1, I think it's verse 27. He's speaking here of how he let himself be fitted into the program that God had for him as a missionary. And when he was with the Jews, he was like the Jews. Now, he didn't share their thinking with some of the law, because Christ was the end of the law, and with the Greeks and so forth. But here he says in verse, I'll say the mystery of Christ expounded, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we also have some scriptures Galatians, where Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." And that is Galatians 2, verse 19 and 20, maybe something like that. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." And you can see I'm very much alive, and I see you're alive. But he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Notice that we, Paul, and we have denied our flesh. We have denied. We want to get rid of it. It's a daily thing we got to work at. But he says, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave his all, shed his lifeblood. So in Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He's there for you and I, interceding for us. And that struggle that is hardest for us, I believe he says to the Father, please give John, please give Irvin, please give Simon an additional measure of grace and strength to accomplish that which I want them to accomplish. Interceding for us to the Father. He says, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead unto sin. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ shall appear, we will also appear with him in glory. Let's not neglect or let our lives be wasted away. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our spiritual identity is rooted in Christ's righteousness, not our own striving. Not our own striving. Where is that verse? I think that's in Romans 8. Romans 8, a few verses there that I want to share with you. Verses 9 through 11. But ye are not in the flesh. You know, we are not walking according to the flesh. Paul would say, if I'd have went further through the next verse there in Colossians 3, therefore mortify your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, and so on and so on. So he says in verse 9, Romans 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's in his righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, I and you and me, he talks about that. And so, I want to turn to, what is it? Corinthians. I want to switch over to the Apostle Paul and some of his teachings. He explained our sojourn here. He explained this as a race. He's using this illustration. It's actually the Grecians had many, many contests and stuff like that. And racing was one. And so the Apostle Paul says here in chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown, one that shall not pass away. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. Yeah, we live in an uncertain world, and our nation is on shaky ground. But you know what? As Christians, we are on a solid foundation, Jesus Christ. It doesn't tremble. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So let us walk carefully, Christians, brothers and sisters. Let us continue on in him and he in us. Paul was a man of courage. He was a man of confidence. And he was persistent in pressing on. He was committed to the Lord. And he had a forward focus with his eyes on the Lord. He says in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. He had quite a reputation among the Jews, and he had a whole lot of credentials. Yeah, he had a lot of confidence in the flesh at one time. Said, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. That was earlier in verse 4. Just listen to this. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was a pretty good man, wasn't he, in the eyes of the Jews? But when he was met by the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, that whole thing changed. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Brothers and sisters, that's where we all need to be. We need to come to that point, and we need to stay in that point. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because of this hope, Paul pressed on. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. And here we are. Paul had his struggles as well, just as you and I. But he maintained his position in Christ. And so we all want to do that as well. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He chose Paul. He chose you. He chose me. We didn't choose him, but he chose us. And he wants us in his eternal glory with him, a part of the bride of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Talk about regrets. I'm sure Paul had a lot of regrets, but he just let them out there. They were covered by the blood of Jesus. And he moved forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Like I said, Paul was a man of courage. A conquering spirit is willing to risk failure even. But we keep our eyes open. on the Lord. We keep our eyes and our thoughts in the Word of God. The Spirit of God will lead us according to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never lead you in any way contrary to His holy word. His holy word is forever settled in heaven. Paul was a man of courage, and he pressed on. God delights in empowering us to accomplish and overcome our weaknesses. And He gets the glory. It's because of Him. Confidence. You know, I have stumbled and fell in the past. We stumble in our ability, in our inability, maybe I should say, to do what God requires. But God is there to help us up. And so our confidence is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ instead of ourselves. And we can move ahead knowing that He'll enable us to do His will. Maybe it looks like quite a chore. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? She finally, I'm sure she didn't understand it all, but she finally said, "Well, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as you have said." And move forward, having our confidence and our commitment. The Lord promises to guide us as we run the race and provide stamina, provide whatever we need to strengthen us along the way. However, we must be committed to Him if we want to keep on. Let him carry out His will in our lives. And let's not put it off, but let's be willing workers in the vineyard of the Lord. For like our brother mentioned, we don't know whether we have another day or whether we have another year or whatever. But let's simply commit ourselves unto the Lord and, be persistent in pursuing God. Our world is full of obstructions, full of distractions and opposition and obstacles. Even this, I read an article in another magazine about this noise. This Christmas season has got everybody in a frenzy and can't hardly get our shopping done, can't get all the gifts wrapped, can't get everything ready for Christmas. And brothers and sisters, I don't think we should give ourselves over into that. I really don't. There's so many distractions out there, and the devil uses everything he can to get us off course. You know, with all those things, in fact, one lady said, I just felt like giving up. Well, sometimes with all these distractions and opposition and obstacles that tempt us, we're tempted to give up. But that's sure defeat, brothers and sisters. That's sure defeat. We need to press on. We must also forget what lies behind and reach forward to that which is ahead, as the Apostle Paul wrote in our scripture text here. Those weighed down by baggage from the past lose sight of the goal. Yes, that has a tendency to do that very thing. The key to success in this race is an all-consuming desire to reach the goal, a passion for God. If we find no value in the prize, what's the reason for going on? We're ready to give up along the way and settle for the immediate gratification the world has to offer. Let us continue to press on. But if we understand what awaits us at that great homecoming, at the finish line in heaven, we will press on. We will not give up. May God help us, strengthen us, encourage us, enable us, comfort us as we continue on in the journey of life. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you for your attentiveness. May we truly have a blessed time here on earth in the Lord, and then we can move on. Go home to be with Him, where many of our friends and parents and Young people, I don't know, are they awaiting us? But I'll say this, I've got a longing to go. May God be praised. Let's kneel for prayer.